Scripture reading comes from Matthew 4, 1 to 11, and I will be reading that at this time. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. God bless you, Randy, as you bring the message, Hungry in the Wilderness.
Thank you, Shelby, for reading scripture. I'm so grateful for how so many people are involved in putting a worship service together. I'm especially aware of that during Lent, so thank you to everyone behind the scenes as well. Let's pray. God, may the words in scripture this morning and the words out of my mouth bring glory and honor to you. May it help us to figure out together how to follow you more faithfully. We pray for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them a time that you were so hungry that you just can't even think about anything else. Just think about an experience when you were very, very hungry. Well, I remember, thank you for sharing. I think we all can think of those stories when we were absolutely famished. I'm thinking about a time when I was hiking on the Appalachian Trail. And on the Appalachian Trail, you actually burn 5,000 to 7,000 calories a day hiking. And there was a particular time in North Carolina when we were just gone into town and all the hikers were sitting around in a circle. And of course, what are we talking about? How hungry we are and all the food that we love. It's great conversations when you're 5,000 calories depleted. Well, anyways, there are some hikers that were talking about this great restaurant in Lancaster County. Man, you sit around here and they're just passed this food around and it's great Amish cooking. I was like, are you talking about Good and Plenty? Yeah, how'd you know that? I'm from Lancaster. It was a pretty cool time to connect with the hikers. But there's something about walking and being extremely famished makes you really appreciate food in a different kind of way. When we're hungry, we feel vulnerable. There's a word for it. It's called hangry. And if you ask my wife, I get it. They know to pack me a snack sometimes. Because I get pretty emotional sometimes when I'm very hungry. Well, we have a story this morning where it says that Jesus is famished. Famished. It's no accident that Jesus is famished in the text this morning in the wilderness right after his baptism. Jesus is not lost. He's not being pushed for something he has done wrong, punished for something he's done wrong. But he has been led by the Holy Spirit for a purpose. A purpose. See, Jesus has just been declared the Son of God in his baptism who I am well pleased. And right after his baptism and time in the wilderness, Jesus will begin his ministry of 3 years of ministry, which ultimately will lead him back into Jerusalem, his death and his resurrection. But within this wilderness time, Jesus is being tested. Are you really the Son of God who will place all of your trust in God the Father? It's a time of preparation for his mission of salvation to the world. And we see three different tests that Jesus has to go through. First one, Jesus refuses to turn stones into bread to assuage his own hunger. But isn't it interesting that Jesus, in his ministry, will feed thousands in the wilderness with just a few loaves and some fish? And he will teach his disciples to pray to God for their daily bread. Turns that around very nicely. Second test, he refuses to take advantage of his relationship to God by hurling himself down from the heights of the temple. But at the end of his earthly ministry, he endures the heights, the taunts of others, while trusting in God's power to the end upon the cross. He turns that temptation around and he embodies a more faithful way on the cross. And in the third, he turns down the devil's offer of political leadership, this offer of power, might over all the kingdoms of the world. And instead, in Jesus' ministry, he will show a kingdom that's not based on might and power, but on self-giving up servant love. He turns that one around as well. And he says, all who follow me in the kingdom of God, they will follow in the way of a crucified Lord. Jesus, in these temptations, is not only resisting them, which is a direct contrast to the same temptations that the Israelites faced in the wilderness wanderings and as they came out of Egypt. But he's also showing, and he turns them around the way that he embodies a new kind of way in his ministry. And so this morning, we can look at this text, and I want to look at it in four different ways. First of all, what is the conflict in the text? What is the conflict for us today? What is the hope in the text? And what is the hope for us today? And so the first conflict is that Jesus does experience temptation. Jesus does experience hunger. He experienced vulnerability and temptation. Yes, he turns them around and he does not fall for that. But there's still something to be said that Jesus was human. He experienced emotional pain, hunger, physical pain. One of the things that we are reminded of during Lent is that our God in Jesus can empathize with our own vulnerability, our own suffering. Jesus is not a God that is so distant from us that he could never imagine the hardships that each of us might be facing right now. Our Lord and our Savior experienced hunger for 40 days, experienced temptation, experienced all of the emotional vulnerability that we encourage our own selves to be willing to share with one another. Jesus was hungry in the wilderness. We are hungry too, going to the conflict today. We are also hungry. We are also looking for healing. We hunger for many things and many things in the wrong places. I myself, I hunger for more and more security sometimes in whatever that might look like, financial security, home security? Am I safe? Do I live in a safe neighborhood? We hunger for our own safety and well-being in whatever way that might look. We hunger for news and media. It has an addictive personality to it. To log on to CNN and to always be looking for that new breaking news. We hunger for some of that. Yes, in the wrong place. But what is it that makes us want more and more and more? What is it that grabs us to want to be filled with the latest thing going on in our world, often filled with fear? We hunger for social media. I hunger for social media. I hunger to log on sometimes and see the latest news going on, sometimes within our own church family, or within my friends or my family. There's always a new picture, a new story. I want it. I want to consume it. The same way that I need food for my energy to fill me each day, we hunger for these things to fill us in some kind of way. We hunger for wholeness. And sometimes, my friends, we're looking for it in the wrong places. This is why during Lent, we need confession. This is why during Lent, we will be doing confession each Sunday. And as we confess that we're looking for hunger, that we're hungering for the wrong things sometimes, God hears that confession. It's not that any of those things in and of themselves are totally wrong. It's not bad to log on to CNN sometimes. It's not bad to use Facebook. But it's when these things consume us in a different kind of way, and we need that to fill something in us, that I believe we find the need for confession. Where are the things that you're hungering for this morning? As we confess our need, as we confess our sin, that we hunger for the wrong things sometimes to fill us, Jesus hears that and he gives us a hope. He gives us hope in the text this morning. And he says, in the midst of your hungering, in the midst of your temptation, look back to the scriptures, look back to the stories to find a new kind of way to fill that hunger. And so as we look back in this text in Matthew this morning, we see hope. We see a way that Jesus counters the temptation and the hunger. And how does Jesus do it? What can we learn this morning from Jesus? Well, in the midst of the temptation, Jesus turns to Scripture. Jesus goes back in each three of those temptations, and he goes to the words of the Old Testament. That's something profoundly important for us this morning, that in the midst of our hungering, we go to Scripture and to the Word of God, I believe. And we've been emphasizing that need, that that's a huge part of our own growth. What else does Jesus do? He trusts in God the Father. He trusts in God the Father. And I think that's huge because instead of going to his own security, his need to have security, he remains vulnerable, and he doesn't try to fix it on his own. He trusts in God. In his being nourished by the Word, and in his trust that God the Father has a plan for him in his mission, he shows a very different way of facing temptation, of facing that vulnerability, not with putting up more and more and more security, but almost with that open hands of vulnerability and saying, I don't know what the next 3 years of ministry are going to all hold for me. I don't know all the persecution I'm going to experience. Although he probably did know a lot of it as well. But in his human, vulnerable side, he had to face those fears and that emotional vulnerability and say, I'm going to trust in God the Father, that in his sustaining love for me and the plan for the world, I'm going to go with this mission and not just try to create my own security and power. That's what the devil wanted him to do. Jesus trusts in God the Father. How do we trust in the midst of our temptations, in the midst of our things that we are hungering for this morning? What is the hope for us today? How do we follow in that, what Jesus models for us? Well, I see one place of hope where we also went to the scriptures. And Neil just handed me a count of how many verses were read in the last month. And I don't think this probably captures all of them, but the ones that were put in, 22,499. That's awesome, Whitmer Heights. We have gone to the scriptures as a place of source and strength and growth for us. Where else do we see hope today and how we are modeling a new way in the midst of our temptations? Well, it's significant that we gather together in this place. Why is this significant? Well, it's countercultural. We live in an individualistic world which says, pull yourself up from the bootstraps and just keep going. You can do it if you work harder. But it's so individualistic. What are we doing right now? We do it every Sunday that we can take for granted the significance of it. We're together. We're in community. We pray together. We worship together. That is huge because in our temptations, I believe we need to say we hunger together. We hunger together. We share when it's difficult together. We share when we are hungry, when we are facing temptation. That's church, my friends. We hunger together and we eat together. And we remember together the stories that we are from. I think to the hiking community, as they were sitting around in that circle, sharing how hungry they are. Well, of course, right after that, what did we go and do? We went to eat. And it was a great meal. We always look forward to getting into town because that means we're probably going to get a hot meal at like a restaurant. But we don't just eat together. As we're eating together, we're sharing stories. We're often reflecting back on some of the challenges in the past 5 days of the hike. We're sharing about the vulnerable times when we almost ran out of food and we really had to ration out the last day. And in that sharing together while we're eating, there's a certain bonding that's happening. And we talk about on the trail community how there is a very strong sense of togetherness in that I know that the person I'm eating with has experienced the same journey as I have starting in Georgia. They know my story. They know my experience because they have also been walking on the trail. And so that's part of what bonds us and makes us stronger. And the same is true for church, I believe. We're stronger together. And the reason why being in community is so important is because we know the other people are walking the same journeys. Maybe not the exact same medical diagnosis, maybe not the exact same financial concern, or maybe not the exact same family relationship that's been challenging. But we know that each of us has our own thing that's been difficult. And in community, we share that with one another. And we're stronger because we're facing our temptations and our sins and our challenges together. That will be a central message of Jesus in the next 3 years of his ministry. He will have a group of 12 disciples in community, and he will always be at many places where he's extending table fellowship together. And even in the Trinity itself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we see a communion of community. This is hope for us today. This is hope in the world. And yes, in Lent, we name and we confess our humanity and our sin and our brokenness. But we also want to be naming the places where we see the hope. We hunger for many things. This morning, as we move into our response time, the Lenten materials and the writers said, let's start off Lent by celebrating communion together. And why? Why did they say that that's important? Well, we have this theme of hungering. And one of the themes in Jesus that we see is that Jesus is the bread of life, food that brings salvation, everlasting life. This morning, as we come to the table, I would invite you to be thinking about those different things that I was naming as temptations or things that you are filling right now so that you feel full. And as you come to the table, have open hands of confession. And as you bring those things, whether it be your need for security in some kind of way, or whatever you're filling yourself with this morning, come with open hands and a spirit of confession. And that's the beautiful thing of coming to the table, is because there is this forgiveness. That is at the heart of communion. Is it saying, I love you so much, as you come, I forgive you. I have forgiven you. And in the cross and the resurrection and in my life and teachings and in my love for you, you have found forgiveness and new life. A new life where even as we confess those things, we're not bound by them, but we're offered new life in so many different ways. And so let's celebrate that this morning. That as we confess, we have new life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Come to me, all you who are hungry.